Today on Brave with Pastor Jeff Schwarzentraub.
I mean, these are steps that I find in my life are still applicable right now, today in my life. Will I thank God for his providence? Will I prioritize God and his people? Will I reject the fears of the world? Will I always follow all of God's ways? Will you do that? Friends, I'm telling you, if there's one of you that hears this and says, I'll do that, you'll go to new heights.
Welcome to Brave, the Bible teaching ministry of Jeff Schwarzentraub, founder and lead pastor of Brave Church in Denver, Colorado. Do you want to go to new heights in your faith? Do you wish to experience the fullness of God's will in your life? Then you'll want to stay with us for today's message as Pastor Jeff reveals four major steps you can take today, wherever you are, to start living the life of faith. It's the next lesson in our ongoing series in the book of Hebrews called The Greatest. And if there's any part of this study you might have missed so far, the place to go for all Brave content is bravemedia.online. Right now, though, let's join Pastor Jeff as he dives into a message titled, Living the Life of Faith.
For those who are ready to hear, what's God's step for me? What's he want me to do? He has a word for you today that he wants you to hear. And so to do that, we're going to be in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 23 to 29, really highlighting the life of Moses, really a nutshell of his life of faith. And I want to read to you from the word, and then we'll unpack those four steps of faith that God wants us to take. Hear the word of the Lord. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Considering the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is unseen. By faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood so that he who destroyed the firstborn would not touch them. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as though they were passing through dry land. And the Egyptians, when they attempted it, were drowned. And here in these few short verses, as we highlight the life of Moses, we can see four steps of faith that we can begin to take, that we can begin to make so that we can actually live the life of faith, not just talk about it. And the first is this, that faith presently chooses to thank God for his providence. Listen to what he says. Verse 23, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's edict. So by faith, what did Moses do in verse 23? Nothing. He was born into a family that actually had faith. He didn't do anything, right? And this is what we need to realize, that no matter where you are in your life, no matter what your circumstances are, no matter who your parents are, no matter who your coaches were, your teachers were, God has divinely orchestrated everything for you. We thank God for his providence. We realize that everything is from God. It means this, when you're in a situation, you have to stop complaining and whining about where you are and why you're not where you need to be and how come so-and-so is this and why aren't I here and why are they there? And just start thanking God. God, you're working it all out for my good. And if you're for me, who can be against me? And thank you, God, that even though these aren't the circumstances I would want, you're doing good in my life. And I praise you for that, Lord Jesus. Faith presently chooses to trust God's for his providence. Second is this, if you can make that step and thank God, then step two is this, prioritize God's agenda for his people. If you wanna take the next step of faith, once you're thanking God for all the reasons he made you the way that you are, with who you are and what you are and what you have, then prioritize God and prioritize his people. If you prioritize your life to say, I wanna live my life to honor God to the full and use every gift and every resource and every ability he's given me to serve his people, you will be moving in the right direction. Here's the problem. We don't like to do that. We like to get our life in order. And then if I have a little extra time, if I have a little extra money, if I can afford to do it, then God, I'll give you some stuff. And God doesn't work that way. We say, let your kingdom come, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What does that mean? It means, God, let what's going on in heaven and all your values invade earth. Where's he going to invade earth through? You. Here's a question for you. I don't know the answer to this question, but it's rhetorical enough. I think I should ask it. What would happen if every person around the globe that called themselves by the name of Christ prioritized Jesus Christ first and his agenda for what he wanted them to do with their life? And that's all that mattered. And if there was time for extra things, that'd be fine. What would happen? The world would change, y'all. I believe God's calling all of us to prioritize him and prioritize his people. So we got to ask the question, what's God trying to accomplish right now in this generation? And what will you do for him? I mean, you see these passages. Look what Moses gave up. Moses gave up world prestige. He didn't want to be known as Pharaoh's daughter. He could have identified with the pleasures of sin. He could have had whatever he wanted. He could have had a life of comfort and plenty, but notice what it says, considering the reproach of Christ or the Messiah, greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, he was looking to the reward. What was he doing? He did three things. If you're gonna prioritize God's agenda, you do these three things. You embrace your God-given identity. You embrace your identity in Christ. You embrace who God says you are and why he put you here. Second, you're willing to endure ill treatment. Willing to endure ill treatment. Had he stayed in the palace, nobody was going to mistreat him. But because he's prioritizing God and his people, he endured ill treatment. And he had all the riches in the world, the richest nation in the world at the time. What was he willing to do? He was willing to expect an inheritance from God. Like if you're going to live a life of faith, you thank God for his providence and everything that he has in your life, and then you prioritize God's agenda for his people no matter what. You say to the Lord, Lord, you've given me all of this ability and all these resources, and you let me be introduced to these people, and this is what I can do. And Lord, I want you to show me how I can best use that for your glory by serving your people. And once you thank God for his providence, and once you've set yourself on a course to say, God, you're first and your people are second, and I'm giving my life to that, then you can do step number three. Step number three is when faith presently chooses to reject the fears of this world. Notice what he says. In verse 27, by faith, this is talking about Moses still, he left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is unseen. What was happening? He was being threatened by the king, but where were his eyes? His eyes weren't on an earthly king, his eyes were on the king. Can I just tell you from the word of God, there's only one viable king, and it's the Lord Jesus Christ. And yes, we are called to honor those in authority to the extent that we don't have to compromise the word of God. But when the word of God gets compromised, then we have to serve King Jesus rather than what some earthly person might tell us. Did you know that? And this is right where Moses was. This is right where Moses lived. He wasn't afraid to turn his back on Egypt. He was saying, I'm turning my back and I'm walking this way. Can I give you a privilege and a step of faith? If you're gonna take this step of faith and not fear the world, when you start stepping, don't step backwards. You keep stepping forwards. Can I tell you I'm a different person than I was before 2020? Because I've had to read through the word of God and say, what is truth and what should we hang our hat on? And God, what are you saying? And is there any distinguishment between what you're saying and what the world's saying? And I find that the world says different things that are lies. I'm just called to preach truth. But I'm also called to be compassionate and love you even if you think differently than me. Even if you think differently than God. Amen? I'm not talking about political parties and I'm not supporting a candidate. Some of you need to get involved in the political process because we need Christians that are making the decisions. Others of you just need to flat out vote for what's right. You say, why is that important? Because it makes a difference in what we're able to do as a church. And oh, by the way, yeah, I understand the greater the persecution, the more the church flourishes, that's fine. But I wanna see the church flourish and take over the world for Jesus Christ. Amen? That's what he's talking about. So will we have those steps of faith? Will we take that? Will we reject what the world's saying? Because when I read through my Bible, I read about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that were told to bow to the king and give him honor. And they said, we're not doing that. And every Christian loves that story. They were thrown into the fiery furnace. Not a hair of their head was singed. And then they looked and there was a fourth one walking around in the fire with them. Looking like the Son of Man because Jesus showed up. And we love that story. Oh, that's awesome. But sometimes when people in our generation say, well, you can't do that. We're like, oh, they said we couldn't do that. We're the sheep of the Lord Jesus Christ. We listen to his voice and we do what he wants. And to the extent we can honor those in authority over us, we do that. But when they don't honor the Lord, we don't follow them, period. Right? Oh, we read about Daniel, and Daniel did the same thing, and he was thrown into a lion's den, and the lion's mouths didn't open. Or we read about Peter getting out of the boat and walking on water. We read about David stepping out, picking up a slingshot and five smooth stones and running towards the giant in the name of the Lord Almighty. We love all those stories until God's telling us, that's how I want you to live. In your generation, truth has an edge. We can be loving and still stand on the truth. We are called to treat all people with dignity and respect, even people that think differently than us, but we're not called to succumb to ungodly ways ever. Amen? The question is this: when you listen to the fears of the world, are you willing to leave comfort for your commission? We're part of the Great Commission. And friends, I hear lies the same way you hear lies. You know, I hear lies like this. You know, you made a decision to get a new building here, and you made a decision to buy a new property in Westminster. Who's ever gonna pay for that? You're never gonna raise enough money for that, and people are gonna leave the church. And why are you ministering anyway? Because there's people in your congregation you had conversation with this week, and they're not even living out the life that they pretend that they're living out, and your ministry doesn't count for anything, and you're not very good, and you were lousy as a husband this week, and you're not a great dad, and when are you gonna get your life together, and when are you gonna do things right, and why don't you go get a real job? And that's usually before my feet even hit the floor as I get out of bed. So I know the voices that you hear that are lying, telling you, if you follow God, you're not gonna have a good time in this life. If you do it God's way, you're gonna lose all the pleasure. If you do it God's way, you're always gonna be poor. No, if you do it God's way, he can't promise you whether you're gonna be rich or poor. He can't promise you everything he's gonna give you. But if you do it God's way, there's a great return on investment. Some of you may have heard the story of Bill Borden. Bill Borden graduated from high school in Chicago in 1904 and went to Yale University. And when he was there during his freshman year, it was birthed on his heart with another guy to start a prayer movement there. By the time he graduated, 4 years later, out of 1,300 students, there were nearly 1,000 students praying fervently daily. Check this out. Yale was known as a place, if you wanted to learn how to pray, that's where you went to school. Bill Borden was the son of a multimillionaire. And he wrote into his Bible, he didn't want to trust his dad's wealth. So he wrote into his Bible, no reserves. He didn't want to trust his dad's money and income. He just wanted to serve the Lord and trust God no matter what. When he graduated, he had a passion to share the gospel with Chinese Muslims. And so he wrote down in his Bible the word, no retreats. No reserves, no retreats. He's going to go share the gospel with Chinese Muslims. And on his way to China, he stopped through Egypt to learn Arabic, where at the age of 25, he contracted spinal meningitis and died at the age of 25. When they found Bill Borden's Bible, in there was written, no reserves, no retreats. And there was another word written in there right before he died, no regrets. No regrets. Friends, if you faith all the way to the finish line, you will have no regrets. I mean, this world is a vapor, so you keep your eyes upon Jesus. I love you. I love our church. Certain ones of you I know better than others. I've had a couple of dear saints go meet the Lord recently. Friends, there's no greater return on investment than living the life of faith. Living it. Because when you meet Jesus, the only thing that's gonna matter is that you took a step of faith and prioritize him and prioritize God's people. And there's incredible rewards for that. And that's what Moses was doing. He forsook the riches of Egypt, saying the riches that are coming are way better. Friends, you can be a multi-billionaire in this world and the riches that are coming are better. I promise you. If God happens to make you rich, use all your wealth for the kingdom of God. If God happens to make you poor, use your dependence upon him to grow your faith and help the faith of others. Because what I find, it doesn't matter whether you're rich or poor or blessed or not or whatever you feel, when I meet somebody, regardless of circumstance, that can tell me my God is in control and I love him no matter what and he's worth it, it speaks to me. That's what it's all about. Will you shut down the voice of the world? Will you quit worrying about the lies that things aren't gonna go your way and that they're not gonna turn out? That's what Satan does. Satan lies to you because he knows that God's plan is best. He always lies. It's never gonna work out. It's never gonna happen. You can't do this. You don't have the education. You don't have the smarts. You don't have the time. You don't have the this. You don't have the that. You have everything you need for life and godliness. You have the Holy Spirit in your life. If God's prompted you to do something, take that step of faith and do it. And then let's do this final one. Super important. If you can get through the first three, where you believe in the providence of God, where you can prioritize God and others, where you will reject the fears of the world, then do this. No matter where you are, no matter what you're doing, always follow all of God's ways. Always follow all of God's ways. A simple way of saying that is be obedient. Don't take shortcuts. God doesn't bless a shortcut. Be willing to go the way he wants you to go. Notice what the passage says. Verse 28, by faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood so that he who destroyed the firstborn would not touch them. God told them when they were leaving Egypt that they would plunder Egypt, but what they had to do is per household, take a lamb, slaughter it, eat it, but take the blood of the lamb and apply it on the doorpost. Right? You're getting a picture of what was going to happen in the New Testament where blood was going to be applied on a post. And we read that story, we don't think much of it. Have you ever put blood on your doorpost? I mean, every Israelite that put blood on their doorpost, the angel of death passed them over. I mean, they had to apply the blood. It means this. In your life, will you go public with your love for Jesus? Will you do it? I mean, it's one thing to be a brave church and clap and say, oh, that's a good message. Will you go public? In your family, will you go public? With your kids, will you go public? In your school, will you go public? In your job, will you go public? With your neighbors, will you go public? Will you go public in such a way where some of the people that know who you are will say, that's weird. They're strange. They're an awkward bunch. Because if you really live for the glory of God, that's how people are gonna think about you. And Moses not only was willing to do that, but he was willing to teach others to do what God wanted them to do. He was willing to tell others, you take that step of faith too. Why? Because Moses believed, like I believe, that God wants to do things through a whole community, not just through one person. Right? That's why he had him do it. So you apply the blood, you go public with your faith. And then notice what else you do. You keep on faithing. Notice verse 29, by faith they passed through the Red Sea as though they were passing through dry land. And the Egyptians, when they attempted it, were drowned. You remember the story? I mean, after 10 plagues, the Pharaoh finally let them go. They plundered all of Egypt. They take off on their journey. Everything's looking good until the Pharaoh's like, wait a second. I don't like that. They have a pillar of fire by night. They have a cloud by day. They're going God's way. God's walking right with them until they see the armies of Egypt right on their tail. And then they're like, what's going to happen now? Can I tell you something about faith? Faith will always have a time where it looks like it's not going to work out. Always. How often? 100% of the time. I got married. I mean, we both share exactly the same values, and now we're married, and we think differently on a couple of things. Yes, you do. I thought it was going to look different. This isn't the challenge I thought I was going to have. I took the job because they said this, but it ended up being this. I went there to help people for this, but it ended up being... There's always a reason to quit, and the enemy knows that. That's why he speaks louder the closer you get to the final. He speaks louder the closer you get to the blessing. He turns up the volume to tell you how stupid you were right before God's about ready to do something great. Like, as you keep walking, then that's when you hear, like, I'm getting closer. And that's when you hear the voice even louder, like, you were so stupid to come this way. Nobody could have been more dumb than you. And oh, by the way, this isn't going to work out. And hey, where's your God now? And you're the only one left. And all these things, that's when God really is about ready to do something. So you keep walking and you don't quit. Because what happened? You can go back and read in Exodus chapter 14 exactly what happened. As all of Israel, 2 million people are like crying out saying, seriously, Moses, we could have died in Egypt. You had to bring us all the way out here to get killed. I mean, what kind of leader are you? You're a terrible leader. And what's God tell Moses? You tell the people to stop complaining and keep walking. And they can stand still and see the work of God. So Moses told him, shh, keep walking. And he had to convince them to go into the water. And when they did, guess what? A wind blew it back. And it wasn't that it was muddy on the ground. It was powder dry, the scripture says. They're walking through powder. 2 million people. Well, God holds off the entire Egyptian army. And then once they're to the other side, what's God do? Removes it so that Egypt can come flooding in. And when Egypt comes in, guess what? Now the wheels are coming off the carts. People are like, God's fighting against us. And all of a sudden, whoosh, the strongest army in the world collapses in one fell swoop. Why? Because they continued to walk by faith. And we love that story, but do you know that's the same God that wants to work in your life? The same God that's telling you, keep walking, you're closer than you think. The louder the voice gets is because you're closer to your destiny. And by the way, our ultimate destiny is meeting Jesus Christ face to face. So once we get to quote unquote our destiny, then we keep walking and we keep on walking and we keep on walking. And that's the life of faith. Always follow all of God's ways. Will you do that? I mean, these are steps that I find in my life are still applicable right now today in my life. Will I thank God for his providence? Will I prioritize God and his people? Will I reject the fears of the world? Will I always follow all of God's ways? Will you do that? Friends, I'm telling you, if there's one of you that hears this and says, I'll do that, you'll go to new heights. Some of you will hear that and say, oh, that was a good message. But you all said amen when I said, who wants to hear what Jesus tells you? And who will by faith put into practice what he shows you? Ready to take that step? Those are 1, 2, 3, 4 steps you can take every single day of your life. And if you keep walking, God will take you to the place that he wants you to be. I'm for you individually, but I'm also for us as a church. What would happen if all of us collectively said, I'm individually gonna do what God wants me to do, and I'm here to prioritize God, and I'm here to prioritize his people, and I wanna do whatever I can to pour into all God's people so that we can all be doing what God wants us to do. That's what it means to live a life of faith. Amen? God is inviting you on a journey. He wants you to be a part of it. Would you stand with me as we pray? Father in heaven, thank you so much for your word. Lord, thank you for teaching us how we can take steps today. Lord, these are hard steps to take sometimes, but Lord, we believe through your word, if we take these steps, you'll take us to where you're leading us to go. If you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you can do it right now. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe I'm a sinner, but I also believe you died on the cross for all my sins and rose from the dead. Right now, I wanna turn from my sin and I wanna confess you as my Lord and Savior. Come into my life right now. And Lord, for all those who are here, show us how to take the next steps in our life to bring you the greatest glory and honor so that, Lord, the same God we read about today will be the same God working in and through us. We give you all the glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Can we give God some praise today? Amen.
You're listening to Brave, the Bible teaching ministry of Jeff Swarzentraub, founder and lead pastor of Brave Church in Denver, Colorado. Today's lesson is titled, Living the Life of Faith. And if you tuned in late or you'd like to catch up on an earlier message from our current series, The Greatest, visit bravemedia.online. And a more convenient way to listen to these messages while you're out and about on a walk or maybe driving at another hour is to download the Brave Church app to your phone or smart device. The app gives you complete mobile access to all of Pastor Jeff's lessons and sermon notes, and no matter where you live, offers you a special opportunity to plug in with the Brave Church community. You can join a Bible study, sign up for special events, share prayer requests, and much more. Just open the App Store on your mobile device, search for Brave Church Denver, and download the app today. And before we wrap up, we'd like to take a moment to invite you and your family to join us for weekend services here at Brave Church. If you're in the Denver metro area, make plans to visit in person at our campus in Englewood or our second campus in Westminster. If you're listening from elsewhere, join us right from home through our live stream. Just go to our website, bravemedia.online, and click the button near the bottom of our homepage that says Brave Church for details and directions. And in the meantime, if you have a question or encouraging comment to share with Pastor Jeff, message us today. You can email hello@bravechurch.co. If you'd rather send a letter through the mail, our address is Brave Church, 3651 South Colorado Boulevard, Englewood, Colorado, 80113. I'm Bill Carl, and we'll see you again next time for more Bible teaching here on Brave with Jeff Swarzentraub. Today's program was produced and furnished by Brave Church in Denver, Colorado.